Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me. He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me. He calls me by the lightning. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay.
Have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place? Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. when the long night has ended and the storms come no more. Let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe. Keep me safe till the storm passes, till the storm passes by. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by.
Some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real
for I can feel him deep within. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel him in my heart. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Battlefield for Jesus, come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender, we are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right. How's everybody doing here this afternoon out there in YouTube land? I hope you're doing well. And you that listen on sermon audio, when you get a chance to later, I know those sermons go up later on, and people listen to them, and I am blessed by that. As soon as I get off here, I usually, within a few hours or so, sometimes it's the next day, it just depends. I've got to get you I get the newest sermons on there. Hope you all are doing well. Let's see here. Joe McDonald, Brandon Swanson, Mary Teresa, Maria Perez, Kuotazillo, Pilgrim Lady, Jacob Terry, Carl Winters, Victoria Aoli Lee Lee Lee. All right. America, Montesedosa, I think. Midwest BJH, hope you're doing well. Okay. All right, can you guys hear me okay on here? Somebody said I'm all the way down. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that you can't hear me? Oh, that was my wife telling me that she didn't get the notification. Well, that happens. I think I get censored a lot. You explained to me how my YouTube channel could be at 14,500 subscribers for 3 years in a row. I don't know how that works. I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't worry about it. I just keep going. And that's that. Melissa Fletch. Brandon Swanson. All right. Dick Nixon. Andrea, how are you? How's the baby? How's the baby doing, Andrea? Good? Jen Stewart? Good. Everybody's here. Well, not everybody yet. There's 30 people here. Well, usually there's 70 or 80, so we'll see. Maybe they'll get here. Well, I shouldn't say usually. Many times there are. And then if I'm really making people mad, there's 100 there to find out what in the world this guy's screaming about. And that's always fun. One day I had 120 people here. Man, were they not happy. Anyway, glad to hear the baby's doing good. Glad to hear Carl Winters got some new speakers. Veronica Tavares, hope you're doing well. Anybody else on here for the first time or hasn't said hello yet? Before I get started, I'll give you a chance to say hi here. I really don't know how far I'm going to get, what direction I'm going to go. I have no clue yet. I just started in my studies yesterday with something. I was just looking into it a little bit, and then it led me to go somewhere else. And then I kind of went somewhere else. And I just kept doing that. Justin Jordan, how are you? So it just, that's kind of how we're on this. So we're going to do some word studies and look at some geography here. Talk about a few things. It'll get interesting. I'm sure it will get interesting. I am sure of that. But anyway, there are so many examples of things that we see in society that prove the Bible to be true. Archaeology is an amazing thing as well. Archaeology has done nothing but prove the Bible that it is true. Archaeology has never disproved the scriptures. The Bible is the authority. And because the Bible's the authority, when archaeology gets it wrong, we don't really care what they have to say. And they do get it wrong quite a bit. However, they get kind of in the general area of where they're supposed to be. For the most part, anyway. And we start to look at some things that become very fascinating and interesting. Now, I'm going to take you where I was in Joshua. Now, I am preaching, expository preaching through the book of Joshua. And who says expository preaching isn't a whole lot of fun? It really is, because you can go into all sorts of different places. But I will show you. Some things here quickly. Let's see. This is the newest one. Expository preaching. I have no idea what that lady's talking about. Yep, that's true, Molly. I agree with that. Anyway, I don't have time to read those comments right now. But anyway, this right here, the Christian soldier's true source of confidence, or the source of the Christian soldier's true confidence. I don't know, however you want to say it, whatever. Anyway, if you listen to that, that will edify and help you in the Lord. These sermons on Joshua are very helpful to people in their Christian life. The series is called Conquering Canaan. And that's the Christian life that we live. Pray for Brother Aaron. He's getting a new hip. So that's the second hip, new. So I think he's trying to be hip. I made it funny. Wasn't that funny? Not really, it wasn't. That's what happens when you hang around my in-laws. You get really corny jokes. That's what happens. But anyway. Or you hang around Dave the Ford salesman. If you hang around Dave the Ford salesman, you get really corny humor. Anyway, but if you need to buy a vehicle, you should buy one off Dave. You really should. If you're in America, that is. If you're not in America, I don't think he could sell you one. But if you're somewhere in America, he could probably sell you a vehicle. Anyway, that was free. It didn't cost you anything. Is that a new sermon from the Christian Life? No, it's not from the Christian Life series. It is from Conquering Canaan. Look, buddy, you get your series as right or you're going to be in trouble. Let me show you that series right there. Don't be confusing people with that now. Don't you be confusing people. It's right here, see? But we haven't got the new one up yet. Yes, Dave's jokes are a real thing. Isn't that right, Becca? But again, if you need a vehicle, you can get one from Dave. Anyway, all right, here we go. So the newest, let's see. No, that was last week's. I got to get some stuff, more stuff there on sermon audio and YouTube and all that good stuff. So I'll be working on that. I'll have Andrew work on that tonight a little bit for a few minutes the few minutes that he has between chasing, I don't know, like 400 children around. How many ever he has now? I don't know. He's got a bunch. Anyway, let's see. All right. Where was I before I so rudely interrupted myself? Let's see. So find those series and listen to some of those sermons. They will help you. And if you want to know about what I've preached on giants, because this is not an exhaustive study today on giants, but if you'd like to, I have series on there. I also have my radio broadcast series that were on there. All those other things. So, they're there. Luke's busy working, so we're not going to get much out of Luke right now. He's busy. So, it's going to be Andrew. Anna Shell, how are you doing? Anyway, so I was reading in Joshua chapter 15. And interestingly enough, as I was reading, many important things stuck out to me. And I started to think a little geographically, which is very hard for my mind. Anyone that knows me realizes that I don't have a geographical thought in my brain. And it's very, extremely difficult for me to do that. However, I was reading my Bible, and there were some things that kind of stuck out. And in looking at some of these things, we're going to read some scripture. I'll give you the backdrop of the story here, and then we'll kind of study out some word things. And I would encourage you to, you know, you can look these up on your own. Now, understand something very plainly, very clearly. Nothing that I'm doing today questions the integrity, the 100% accuracy of the King James Bible. So there is no intent of mine to look at a Hebrew word here, which we are going to look at, by the way, just because we're looking at dictionaries or Greek words or whatever the case may be. We're not attempting to correct anything. Nothing needs corrected. Sometimes our brains are just slower than what they should be. And we don't come up to the place where the Bible is. So, in other words, when in doubt, the King James Bible is always right. When there's a question about something, always refer to the King James Bible. So, I'm not teaching this in order to question anything like that. I already know what my Bible says, and I believe it. But there's something very unique. Before we get into that scripture, let me share this with you. There's something very unique. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, okay, let me be clear with you. If I accidentally say something stupid, then believe the Bible anyway. All right? I'm just clarifying that to make sure you understand that. Because it's very possible. It's very possible for me to say something stupid. I mean, it's real possible. So, I preface that by saying that in order so you can't say, try to use my words and twist them up like people that would have evil intentions would try to do and say, oh, see, look what he's doing. Nope, he's not doing that. Okay? So we are all human, and I am definitely human. I know that. And I also have human children, so I know that. But I know that. Did I mention it's good to be back on here? I'm glad to be back. In my big black chair. I'm glad to be back here. I really am. Anyway, I'm glad that all of you are tuning in and everybody's here and all that good stuff. I know Ramden. I know that man. Alias Ram. Okay. Anyway. But in case I didn't let you know that, I praise the Lord, we're back at this again. All right? Now, here we go. Look at this map. Right here, we have the valley of the Raphaim, or the Valley of Giants. Okay? Right here. There is also in this general vicinity another valley that comes in. Okay? I believe this is the right one. Yes. There's another valley. And that valley is the valley of the son of Hinnom. The valley of the son of Hinnom. We're going to get to explaining some of those things. The Bible lays out those borders very clearly. Now, don't you find it very interesting that the centralized location of these giants was right here before you get right here to the Mount of Olives? So right around here was where the Valley of Giants were. All right? Including in that, it's not cold in Florida. It's cold in Minnesota. It's not cold in Florida. You don't even know what cold is there. Okay. Jen Stewart, do you live in Minnesota? I didn't know you lived in Minnesota. Where do you live? I mean, general vicinity. You don't have to tell every kook and freak out there where you live or anything, but Andrea, they don't know what it's like to be cold, do they, in Florida? They don't even know. They don't know. You live in, I know where you live. Crookston. You live in Crookston. Are you kidding me? Where is that? No, I've been there. I've been to Crookston, Minnesota, I think. You know what? Pastor Beller went to Crookston, Minnesota. Pastor Beller preached in Crookston, Minnesota. Anyway, I bet you people are mad at me right now. They're like, can you please process one thought at a time? I am. I'm just going like onto many different thoughts. Okay. Right here. You know Brother Beller? I didn't know you knew Brother Beller. He was a very good friend of mine. That man would make you laugh so hard. He could make you cry when he preached about Baptist history. He could make you laugh so hard you almost peed your pants. I shouldn't have said that. Somebody got mad at me one time for saying pee your pants. And I said, well, the Bible talks about pisseth against the wind. What's the big deal? Anyway. Man, he was a funny guy. Oh. I rode in a car with him for 2 hours one time. Oh, wait. And I went on Baptist history tours with him. Oh, my goodness. Did we ever make people mad at us? Brother Beller would stay up all night long. Oh, man. It was so funny. Oh. Anyway. All right. I got to get moving. A lot of you don't know who Brother Beller is, so you're like, what are you talking about? I have his sermons, I think, on my sermon audio page. No one was better at teaching Baptist history than him. No one. Anyway, all right, here we go. Valley of the Raphaim. And the valley of the son of Hinnom came right around here, okay? Now, here's the Mount of Olives. Now, I'm just showing you that in the beginning, because now we're going to talk about this scripture here. Caleb is entering into the promised land. Caleb is entering into the promised land. He's entering into his inheritance, and he's about ready to go take it. So let's read about this, and then we'll get into the giants, because they are a part of this. And I thought there was something fascinating when I started to read this, because you have the giants in that area, then you have Moloch in that area, and then you have the valley of the son of Hinnom in that area, and then you have Solomon putting the abomination of desolation in the mountain, in the Mount of Olives in that area. You have child sacrifice in that area. You have all of these things. All of these things happening in this one area. This pure concentration of absolute evil. And the border went up from went up toward Debir from the valley of Achor, and so northward, looking toward Gilgal, that is before the going up to Adummim, which is in the south side of the river. And the border passed toward the waters of En-Shemesh, and the goings out thereof were at En-Rogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom, unto the south side of the Jebusite. And the same is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants, northward. And the border was drawn from the top of the hill unto the fountain of the waters of Nephtoah, and went into the cities of Mount Ephraim, and the border of And the border was drawn to Bala, which is Kirjath-Jearim, and the border compassed Bala westward even unto Zaire, and passed along the side. Okay, so let's skip down here. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba. Kirjath-Arba. Arba was a great man. The father, Arba is the father of Anak. Now, my theory is that Arba was a fallen angel. That's my theory. Sons of God, daughters of men. Let me go to Genesis 6. Now, this is not an exhaustive teaching. If you want one of those, listen to the hours upon hours upon hours that I've done. I'm not trying to prove that today. I'm talking to people that already believe that. If you don't already believe that, then I'm not going through that. All right? I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just not, I don't have time to backtrack. If I did that, I'd be teaching the same thing that I'm teaching. And it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great. Okay, so we have those giants in the earth. Sons of God, daughters of men, by the way, which is the same religion that is being taught here and here, and that Solomon built the altar to for his wives here. Same thing. Same religion, same teaching, same things, of which God hates. By the way, what was going on in the valley of the son of Hinnom? Same thing that's going on today at Planned Parenthood. Sticking babies in a furnace and burning them alive. Oh, wait. They kill them first. Sometimes. Or sometimes they leave them sitting on a counter, going through immense amounts of pain and torture before they burn them in a furnace. Right? Why is that? Because they're a bunch of witches, that's why. That's exactly what they are. Bunch of witches. Come on, I'm not. Let me tell you who I'm not. I'm not Donald Trump and the Republican Party and the pro-life movement. Why am I not that? Well, because it's fake. It's really fake. It's really super fake. Because they really don't ever do anything about it. Right? See, the devil hates this ministry. A lot of people hate this ministry that are filled with Satan. And the reason they hate this ministry, one of the reasons why they hate it, is our stand that we take on keepers at home, against birth control, against those other things. And no, we're not Catholic. We actually believe the Bible. That's why we don't believe in birth control. But that's also why there's 40 babies here. 40 kids, sorry. That's also the reason why. That's why, by God's grace, we're on our seventh one. Amen. That's why, because we actually believe the Bible. When God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, we believe it. Right? So I don't go along with the pro-life movement because I think it's a bunch of moneymakers. Wonder how much the pro-life movement makes and how nothing ever changes with it. I believe in the absolute 1,000% abolition of abortion. And yes, that includes rape and everything else. Because murdering a baby because somebody raped you is not biblical. Adopt it out if you must. Hey, I know a family right now that'll take it. I know a family right now that would take one if that happened. Now, God forbid it would ever happen. And you should hang the rapist. But don't kill the baby. But what was going on there? The same thing that was going on right here in the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And the border went up by the Valley of the Son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite. Oops, let me go. I went farther than that. Let me go down here. Look at this. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak. Which city is Hebron? And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak, giants. Arba was a great man. That's why I believe Arba is a fallen angel. That's what I believe. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. I like what he said here. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. It says here, in the name of the of Hebron, before was Kirjath Arba. Arba was a great man among the Anakims. He's a great man. Why was he a great man? I don't know, but his three sons were giants. Anak was a giant. Right? The children of Anak. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giant, which come of the giants. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Where is that? Or where was that, I should say? Right here. Kirjath Jearim. Coming down through here. Getting ready to go for a fight. Here we are, right here, right before you get to Jerusalem. The city of the great king. What do we have here? We have the Valley of the Raphaim, or the Valley of the Giants, right here. Okay? So you have the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, which was a wicked place. And then you have the Valley of the Raphaim right here. And this is where Caleb is going to war with. He's going to fight right here. Caleb is about ready to kick them out of this mountain, this whole place right here. Caleb's getting ready to throw out some giants. And then these giants are going to leave, but they're going to go somewhere else. And that's not the end you're going to hear of those giants. Okay? Because you're going to hear about them again. Not Caleb got rid of them. He kicked them out, but their family members went somewhere else. So we hear about them again. Okay? All right. So then we get to, these are the sons of Anak, right? Nine times. They had their own fruit, right? Anak is nine times. Think about that. That number nine stands for fruit, right? They have a seed. We have the fruit of the Spirit. What do they have? Right? So Caleb takes the mountain, right? Caleb says, I'm going there. I'm going to take the mountain. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahimin, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir was Kirjath Sepher. Okay? So Right here. This area. He's going to fight. Here's Kirjath-Jearim. Hiram. Here we go. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Laish. There's Nob. And there's the Mount of Olives. That's where that other valley comes in. Right at the border of that mount. Okay? And that border is, that valley is wicked. Now we know from Scripture that, let's see, I think it was Gath. Here we go. Look at this. There was none of the Anakims left, and at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod, there remained. Ashdod. Gath, or Gath. Okay? Where did the giant come from? Here we go. Look at this. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. So here we go. So the three sons of Anak are expelled from the land. The three sons of Anak, the giants, are taken. Who's their offspring? Goliath. Goliath. That's where they end up. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. So David, incidentally, David is going to finish off the work there, right? David's going to finish the work there. All right, he's going to... David's going to finish the work that was started by Caleb there. Because here's this champion, Goliath, and then Goliath's got some brothers. But these giants are still there, and you notice something about these giants. And what is that we notice about them? We notice about the giants that they really, really don't like God's people. They really, 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 really hate God's people. So here's this champion of the Philistines, right? Where the giants in Gath, the sons of Anak, were there. So probably the lineage of Anak. They're there. And they don't like David. They don't like Israel, number one. But they definitely don't like David. And what do you... You know that David is going to find that giant. And the reason why David's going to be drawn to that, because why is David drawn to that? Let me show you why David is drawn to that. By the way, I wasn't planning on doing this, but it works. So let's see. Let's see here. Samuel, here we go. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 16 or 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Okay. That's 1 Samuel 16. Okay, well, how long did it take for David to find the giant? How long did it take for the giant to find David, or David to find the giant? Not very long. One, one chapter of the Bible, which could be a long time in some cases, but not very long. By the way, how many times is Goliath in the Bible? Six. What did Goliath's coat, what did his armor weigh? Six, six, six. What did David, what happened to David right away? Well, David gets anointed in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and he has the Spirit of the Lord in him. It says here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, right? It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So what happened? Try to stay focused, everyone. Try to stay focused. So what happened? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, David is anointed with the Spirit of God. Then what happened? The very next chapter, Goliath comes on the scene. David is just delivering some food to his brothers and seeing how they're doing and taking a pledge from them. Do you need anything while you're on the battlefield? David is just being a delivery boy. But here's what happens to God's man that's anointed. And it's a picture of preachers too. It's a picture of all of us in the Lord, but especially God's men also. And here's why. Because when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, that spirit of Antichrist knows it right away. And those two spirits are not going to get along for very long. They are forever at war with each other. So David finds Goliath, or Goliath finds David, however you would want to say that. And there's an immediate war. Why? The two spirits. You look at the story of Goliath, and everything you see about Goliath, 600 shekels of iron, right? Everything about Goliath, 6 cubits. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. So you go through and you look at him, and everything about that guy is Antichrist. Everything about that giant is Antichrist. Everything. Right? All the men's hearts are failing them, but David is anointed with the Spirit of God. And because of that, those two spirits are at war with each other. So, I'll show you something. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. those two spirits are at war with each other right away. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, when you get saved, you're like David. The Spirit comes upon you, in you, sealed unto the day of redemption. And you hath he quickened, you're made alive, and we're dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that spirit that worked in you before is against you now. And you're against it. That's the way it works. And those giants, there's no such thing as a friendly giant. There's no such thing as a gentle giant in the Bible. No such thing. There is no such thing as a friendly giant. None at all. They have a different spirit in them. They had a different spirit in them. But it's just like the devil's crowd. Now, the first thing we'll look at a little bit here is Strong's McClintock and the Valley of the Giants. And then we're going to look at the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, because the borders that we talked about, and really the truth of where all this stuff lies, and Moloch, by the way, which I don't even know if we'll get that far today, but we'll see. But here, you see this? And the border went up the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite. So, there's a border where those valleys come together, and they come together, and then it's at the end of the Valley of the Giants, and then there's this Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna, or really the gateway to hell, a picture of hell, is really what it is. Now, we believe that hell is a literal place. We also know that there is a picture of hell in the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. Why? Because they were acting like hell there. They were acting out hell there. Right? That's what they were doing. So, the Valley of the Giants, a valley beginning adjacent to the Valley of Hinnom, southwest of Jerusalem, and stretching away southwest on the right of the road to Bethlehem. The valley appears to derive its name from the ancient nation of the Raphaim. It may be a trace of an early settlement of theirs, possibly after they were driven from the original seats east of Jordan by Chedorlaomer. Remember, that king Chedorlaomer, he kicked out the giants and he pushed them out. And then they went towards Canaan to fill the land of Canaan. That's what they were doing. And before they again migrated northward to the more secure wooded districts in which we find them at the date of the partition of the country among the tribes. Right, in Joshua chapter 17, Joshua chapter 15, they are staying at this place. In this case, it is a parallel to the Mount of the Amalekites in the center of Palestine and to the towns near bearing the name of Zemarim, Avim, Ophanites, which occur so frequently in Benjamin. Okay? The Valley of Rephaim is first mentioned in the description given by Joshua of the northern border of Judah. The passage is important. The border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom onto the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem. The border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom. So there's something about this area. There's something about this area where literally all of these people, not people, giants, all of these giants are congregating. But not only giants, but all these demonic sacrifices are going on, right? It's a place, when you take the valley of the son of, when you go to the valley of the son of Hinnom, it's a place where they're worshiping false gods. They're sacrificing children. They're fornicating. They're beating drums very loud, which is Topheth. It's the place of the drum, to drown out the cries. Okay. But this is an interesting part of the world, or part of, and part of Judea, Palestine, whatever you want to call it. Because in this area, there's so much Antichrist worship. So much. There's so much worship of Moloch. This false god. And what I found fascinating, that this same area, this same concentration of area, Moloch is 8 times there, and that's also spelled, I believe, that way, 10 times in the Bible. Okay? But there's also the star worship. Check this out. I think there is a good possibility that the giants of this area could have been, not all of them, could have been fathered by Moloch. That Moloch is actually, or was actually, that Moloch actually was a fallen angel. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and chewn your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. So in this, there's this worship where Solomon, by the way, we will come to no conclusions today about everything. That's not possible. So I'm not claiming to be able to put all this simply together. It really, what it is a springboard to study. It's a springboard for all of us to really study and to just look into the scriptures and be like, what's going on here in this place? But it also shows us modern times what's going on. Look what the Bible says about Moloch. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. Now, we know that the Bible speaks of hybrids. It also speaks of creatures that look different. They're not the same. They're hybrids. We know those locusts that come out of Revelation chapter 9. Remember that, let's see if I can find it. Well, here's a hybrid.
Sure.
Look at that. That's a hybrid too, isn't it? Let's see if I can find the other one. Let's see. How has it been 4 years since we started the Trump stuff? And it's almost over. That is insane. Anyway, I was looking for that. Something else, but I didn't find it, so that's okay. Where did that picture go, though? Let me see if I can find that again. Huh, I must have got off that. Oh, there it is, right there. Here we go. Tophet, Moloch, and Hinnom. This is all happening around the same place. And I don't really care about what this guy's saying. I'm just using his picture for the most part. But these are hybrids. Right? And these hybrids hate the Lord. They want to be worshipped as gods. And we're going to read about what happened with Moloch here. We're going to look at that. Because the giants, there's something interesting. Who thinks this is interesting? And I'm going to take a break just for a second, maybe play a song, and have you think about this. Who thinks it's interesting that Moloch worship, sacrificing babies, the Valley of Giants, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, Moloch being placed on the top of the Mount of Olive, all of those things are so intricately connected to child sacrifice and everything else. I think it's interesting. I really do. And we're going to get into a little bit more about Moloch here in a second. Let's see. What do we want to play here?
Do not be weary in well-doing, says the Lord, for your labor. I surely will reward. Be steadfast, unmoving, never faint, for God honors the enduring saint. Don't quit, there's a job to be done. Don't quit, there's a race to be run. Don't quit, there's a crown to be won. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit. Elijah moaned as he sat beneath the tree. God, I'm all alone, there's no one left but me. Then God said to him in a still small voice, 7,000 still make me their choice. Don't quit, there's a job to be done. Don't quit, there's a race to be run. Don't quit, there's a crown to be won. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit.
Jesus did not quit all throughout his ministry, for he would not stop till he reached Calvary. He endured the cross and became the finisher. So then follow, be a conqueror. Don't quit, there's a job to be done. Don't quit, there's a race to be run. Don't quit, there's a crown to be won. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit. Don't quit, there's a job to be done. Don't quit, there's a race to be run. Don't quit, there's a crown to be won. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit. Don't quit, weary Christian, don't quit.
Amen. Don't quit. I'm preaching about that tonight, actually. Don't quit. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to some folks tonight, for sure. All right, let's get to it here. What in the world, or who in the world, is Moloch? A devil, that's who. But let's look into it a little bit. Now, this is from Strong's and McClintock's, or McClintock and Strong's. I wonder if he did that backwards. No, it is called McClintock and Strong's. I always call it Strong's and McClintock. That's because I'm weird. Okay, anyway, let's see. This is online now, which is awesome. I have this in book form, and I use it in book form. But it's awesome to have. It's a great resource to have. And I hate giving Carl all my secrets like that, but I just did. I gave it up, didn't I, Carl? Just like that. Anyway. The root of the word Moloch is the same as that of Malik, or king. Hence, he is identified with Malcolm, their king. The title by which he was known to the Israelites is being invested with regal honors in his character. As a tutelary deity, the Lord and master of his people. Okay? For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. Traces of the root from Moloch is derived, are to be found in Milcus, or they're different gods, the Phoenician gods, whatever, it doesn't really matter. The fire god, Sepharvaim, okay, that fire god, okay. No, Jen, it's not the same as Strong's Concordance. This is way better. This is an actual dictionary, 500, 600 pages thick. Each one, very small print. And it's good for a reference. It's not the Bible. I have one of those. That's better than anything. But it is helpful. The fire god Moloch, as the tutelary deity of the children of Ammon, was essentially identical with the Moabitess Chemosh. The Hebrew form is an undoubted proper name. Likewise, occurs with some variety as seen above. Solomon had in his harem many women of the Ammonitish race who turned away his heart after other gods, and as a consequence of their influence, the high places to Moloch, the abomination of the children of Israel. Look at that. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Where is that? Right here in the Mount of Olives. All man-made books have errors. Right here in the Mount of Olives. Why is that important? Why was there an image? I want to show you why. Zechariah 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Ezeel. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, even unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples. So Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, right? What does he say here? As he sat on the Mount of Olives, what did he say he was going to do? He said he was coming back and he was going to touch down on that mount. And they got that, they had that image in the high place. So you have this valley right here, and then you have this mount overlooking this valley, and at the top of this mount you had the image of Chemosh. And then what was going on? Child sacrifice. That's what was going on. I don't know if it was going on in Solomon's day or not. I'm assuming it probably wasn't. Openly. Openly it wasn't going on, right? One of the summits of Olivet, two verses before the same deity is called Milcom, and from the circumstance of the two names being distinguished in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 10 and 13, has been inferred by many that it's essentially the same. Now, I happen to believe most of these gods, a lot of these false gods are the same. They're just devils that they build an image to. Because the Bible talks about says here, what say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered and sacrificed idols anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not have that you should have, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. That's who they're sacrificing to. Devils. You say, but it's an idol. The idol is a representation of a devil. That's what Paul said. Satan and those fallen angels, devils, demons, they don't care what you sacrifice. They don't care what image you sacrifice to, as long as you don't worship Christ. Okay? Everyone is tolerated in this world but Jesus Christ. Everybody is welcome everywhere except the Jesus of the Bible. Every Bible version is welcome everywhere except the King James Bible. Right? Yep. All right, let's keep going here. It is true that in the later history of the Israelites, the worship of Moloch is connected with the Valley of Hinnom. So let's look at that. Lots of bad stuff went on in Hinnom. And the border went up by the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. What was going on in the Valley of the Son of Hinnom? A lot of things. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 31. We'll go back to Leviticus also. And they have built the high places of Tophet. That's a drum. Hell. The high places of hell. Do you understand that? What's that word Tophet mean? It means a drum. so-called from a place east of Jerusalem where children were burnt to Moloch and where drums were used to drown out their cries. Think about that. Wait a minute. So I have this god named Moloch here. Well, we don't. They have this god named Moloch. And this god named Moloch wants them to kill their children and burn them in the fire to sacrifice their children. Now, this world is always going to ask you to sacrifice something. They're always going to, and they would love for you to sacrifice your children. And I don't mean just abortion or murder. Sacrifice on the altar of success, whatever that may be. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. Valley. Tophet. Valley of the son of Hinnom. So you got this valley of the giants that meets up with this valley of the son of Hinnom at the border, at the bottom of the mountain. Of the Mount of Olives. And here is where Satan decided that would be a great place to have a bunch of giants, false worship, Antichrist worship, and a high place. Because he loves to sit where he's not supposed to be. Loves it. Therefore, it says here, and they built the high place of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire into Moloch. Which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination. They should sacrifice their children. That they should commit abortion. That's not. You got these pro-choice pastors now. Well, what spirit are they of? Let's see. They want to murder babies. So what spirit would they be of? Do they sound like the spirit of Christ? Or do they sound like the spirit of Antichrist? By the way, don't you think it's interesting that the same people that are into child sacrifice are also into genetic manipulation? That spirit of the giants into genetic manipulation? That it's the same spirit? Think about that. It is. It's Antichrist. So what in the world was going on in the valley of the son of Hinnom? Everything that God hated. Everything that God hated. But it seems impossible to resist the conclusion that in 1 Kings 11, Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, is the same as Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. In verse 5, Moloch, the abomination. To avoid this, okay, we don't care about that. Okay, anyway. Let's see. To avoid this, movers contends, be this as it may, in the reformation carried out by Josiah, the high place of Milcom on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption and Tophet in the valley of the children of Hinnom were defiled, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Moloch. In the narrative of Chronicles, these are included under the general term Balaam, and the apostasy of Solomon is not once alluded to. Well, because Solomon repented later. Kimchi, following the Targum, takes the word Milcom. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't matter. Okay. All right. There remains to be noticed one passage in which the Hebrew written, and that's when he talks about, the biblical account of his deity. There is some difficulty in ascertaining at what period the Israelites became acquainted with this idolatry. Well, I think we know when they became acquainted with it. And the reason we know this is because God warned them about it, like, right away. These are fire gods. God warned them before they got into the land. God warned them, don't do this. Fire gods appear to have been common in all the Canaanite, Assyrian, and other tribes who worshiped the destructive element under an outward symbol. All these people made their children to pass through the fire. All these groups. Let me tell you something that should strike right to your heart, and that is this. God never asked you to sacrifice your son because he gave his son for you. These false deities that want worship, they want something from you. God gave his most precious possession, his only begotten son, to die on the cross for your sins. God never asked you to give up your son. Never to make them pass through the fire. God said, I will give my son to die for your sins. That is great love. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 21. And thou shalt not let... Amen to that. For example, the false god Allah wants his followers to sacrifice their sons in holy jihad. But God gave up his son. And do you know what? Do you know why Christianity cannot be compatible with Islam? Because Islam says that Allah had no son. And their Allah is Satan. That's who their Allah is. It is a false deity. It is Antichrist. Leviticus chapter 18. And thou shalt... Well, actually, let's back up a little bit, because I want to show you something. We're talking about false gods. We're talking about Moloch. We're talking about the worship of false gods, the giants. Throw in sexual immorality there. You find this all in this chapter. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Well, actually, let's back up. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, ye shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. The world's got ordinances. Satan's got ordinances, and the Lord's church has ordinances. But ours is not theirs. We don't walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall. So then he's going to get into this sexual immorality. And he's going to tie this sexual immorality into the land, into the false gods, into false prophets. Into passing, making your children, into abortion, into making your children. And then you see what spirit these things are of. You start to see that that's a different world. That's not the God of the Bible. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. That's incest. I am the Lord, the nakedness of thy father. Are the nakedness of thy mother, that shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, thou shalt not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister and the daughter of thy father. So he goes through all of these things. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter. Okay, so he goes through all of these. Not appropriate. Wrong. Wicked. Okay. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. Okay. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself and her. Watch what is closely connected. God puts this all together because it's the same spirit. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. They weren't to. They weren't to make their children to pass through the fire. That stuff was going on in the land. That was going on in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. What is that? That's homosexuality. So what spirit are these churches of that are accepting homosexuality today? What spirit are they of? Same spirit here. Listen, these same churches are okay with transgenderism, homosexuality, they're okay with child sacrifice or abortion. And pretty soon they're going to be okay with neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. They're going to be okay with bestiality too. They're going to. Those churches are going to come to that point. Because once you leave the Bible, once you're willing to compromise the plain truth of the scriptures, when it comes to who God is and his worship and what he allows. And once you leave the law of God, then the law of the jungle is what takes over. The law of the jungle is what takes over once you do that. And once that happens, there's no turning back. Neither shalt thou lie. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. Right. They're already okay with pedophilia. They're already going to be. The Roman Catholic Church already is okay with it. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. By the way, why do you think they are? Because they have this spirit. And in the end times, they're going to come to that place. it's a good point. Let's look at Webster's Dictionary also. Profane means irreverent to anything sacred. Applied to persons, a man is profane. Okay. Irreverent, proceeding from a contempt of sacred things or implying it is profane words or language, profane swearing. Not sacred, secular, irreverent. Polluted, not pure. Not purified or holy. Obscene, heathenish, tending to bring reproach on religion. Okay. So profanity is irreverent speech, not purified. To violate anything sacred. To profane the name of your God, right? So you're profaning God's name by those things. It's irreverence for God. It's to pollute or defile, to violate, to put to a wrong use the name of your God. That's what that is. Okay? That's what it means to profane the name of the Lord. So here we have these that the Bible warns about. Right? Causing them to pass through the fire. There shall not be found any among you that do that, right? Or observer of times. Look what it says here. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, that useth divination, observer of times. What do they all have? The same spirit. They're doing the exact same thing. Okay? These are fire gods. Now, we know also that these fiery chariots, these fallen angels, some of these, think about those UFOs that Pastor Mike talked about. Think about that they're just devils is what they are. But they're chariots. They're, you know, we talk about chariots of fire. I want you to think about that for a minute. That these false gods, they're gods of fire. And then you think about the divine spark that is taught, right? Think about those things. So there's a lot of things there that is being prepared, I believe. You know, they would take that image of Moloch. And they would take their babies and they would sacrifice their babies to that image. The burning, fiery, hot hands, right? And they would burn that baby. They would burn that baby up and kill their baby. In order for not to hear the screams, they would drum at Tophet. They would drum, right? That's what they would do. You know, I thought about this when we're thinking about Moloch and child sacrifice. And I thought about the Bohemian Grove and that cremation of care and just the pictures of that. I think about how satanic that is. Now, I want you to think about all the missing and exploited children. Where are they? Where are they all at? How come we never find them? Where do they go? I think it's pretty easy to figure that out. That all of these people on top of the political world are high-level Satanists. Right? And there are so many children that are gone today. And where do they go? Well, we know that millions of babies are being murdered in the womb. Right? We know that. But where are the missing ones at? Where are all the missing ones at? So we think about child sacrifice. We think about abortion. We think about this Valley of Giants. We think about Moloch, Baal. Right? All this stuff is going on in this part of the world, was going on in this part of the world right here as the Israelites entered into Canaan. Okay. It's another one, Topheth. Let's see. That was right around these valleys here as well. It's not on this map here. But let's see. A place near Jerusalem where the ancient Canaanites, afterwards the apostate Israelites, made their children to pass through the fire to Moloch. It is first mentioned in the order of time by Isaiah, who alludes to it as a deep and large and having abundance of fuel. Here he evidently calls the place where Sennacherib's army was destroyed Topheth by a Menonomy. For it was probably overthrown at a great distance from there. Okay, so let's see. In all succeeding ages, blood has flown there in streams. Corpses buried and unburied have filled up the hollows. It may be that the underneath the modern garden aid terraces where lies not only the debris of the city, but the bones and dust of millions of Romans, Persians, Jews, Greeks, Crusaders, and Muslims. Once the royal music grove where Solomon's singers with voice and instrument regaled the king, the court, and the city, then the temple of Baal, the high place of Moloch resounding with cries of burning infants, then in symbol the place where is the wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's the place of Gehenna. It's a picture of hell. What it is. It's a picture of hell. Right? That's what it is. That's where it is. You know, the Bible talks about that over and over again, that valley of the son of Hinnom, and how they basically filled it with burning refuse and everything else, and it was just burning constantly. It was a perpetual burning. says the name Tophet was commonly supposed to be derived from Toph, or drum, from the drums used to drown the cries of the children when made to pass through the fire to Moloch. This was a received Jewish opinion, but there are other derivations, of that word, which really doesn't matter to us. Tophet lays somewhere east or southeast of Jerusalem, for Jeremiah went out by the sun gate, or the east gate, to go to it. It was in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate. Thus, it's not identical with Hinnom, as some have written, except in the sense in the paradise, identical with Eden. So, what we have here is that valley of the son of Hinnom, you have a picture of hell. You have a constant burning, right? That is going on at that spot. Or was going on, excuse me, at that spot right there. But what's it? What did God allow that to be there for? And Jesus and others, I believe, would have used it as an example. Right? Jesus used as an example. And it's given an example for us. Just like the sun is an example for us. It's a picture for us. Right? The valley of the son of Hinnom was a picture for us. It says, moreover, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So that's what he was doing there. But what was that? A perpetual burning that went on there. That's a picture of hell. That's what that is. That the fire, where the fire is not quenched, right? That's what that's a picture of. That's what the Lord allowed us to see. Well, not us, maybe there, but a picture for those people so they could see it there and they would understand that there's a judgment coming upon all men. See, if you live for this life, you'll die and go to hell. God has given every example to his people and to lost people to know the truth. He showed them that like the sun is like a lake of fire. These people, think about this. They were right on the borders of Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Giants had filled the land. There's genetic manipulation going on. There's killing and death going on. There's babies being sacrificed going on. But God, in the midst of it all, is still giving a witness to these people. Just like today, God has a witness for his people. And for lost people. That if they would turn. For why will you die in your sins? But you know what people are trying to do today? Bang on drums, just like they did in Tophet. They want to distract themselves with this world so they don't have to answer to the God of the Bible. Right? So they don't have to answer to the God of the Bible. We know that today human sacrifice is still going on. It goes on in the form of abortion, but it also goes on in other satanic rituals as well. We know that's what's happening. And there's a picture for all men. There's the Bible talks about creation in Romans chapter 1. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. You know, they've been given the truth. They've been shown the truth. That valley of the son of Hinnom was such a wicked place. God said, don't make your sons and daughters pass through the fire. Don't torture your children. You know, don't do these abominable things which I hate. The spirit that these people had in them to slaughter their own babies, to slaughter their own children. It's an Antichrist spirit. Just like the giants had an Antichrist, had the Antichrist spirit. Just like Moloch is that false god. Just like we see here in the valley of the son of Hinnom, we see a picture of hell. In Tophet. We see all these pictures. That's right. As in the days of Noah. We are in these times. What were all these things for? Are we coming back to the same time? Yes. Yes. Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We're there right now. You know, they stuck their babies and their children there and they burnt them. They cooked them alive, their children. They burned incense in the valleys of the son of Hinnom. The Bible says there's a place called hell. Isaiah's talking about a picture of hell and the valley of the son of Hinnom. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Jesus spoke of hell more than he did of heaven. And if thy right hand, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. Cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not. That's their conscience that never dies. See, if you're here under the sound of my voice and you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've never repented and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've never come to Christ and believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, been born again, trusted Christ and following his word now, because he put his spirit inside of you. If you never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're lost and dead in sins. And you'll take that conscience to the grave with you, but you'll take it farther than the grave. Your body will go into the grave, but your soul will go to hell. And you'll remember that the gospel was preached to you. You'll remember that you were warned to flee from the wrath to come. That you should have trusted Christ as your Savior. That you should have repented and believed the gospel. I like what it says. And you that may doubt your salvation sometimes or go through problems or things of that nature, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling you who's going to hell here. It's those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. All I can tell you is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There is a hell. And it's not on this earth. But your gateway to hell is sin. You are already on your way to hell. As a sinner. Guilty before God. Dead in trespasses and sins with no power to do right. Oh, you might fall in line with some things, but in your heart, you can never stop following evil. Until you're saved, until you're born again by the Spirit of God, until your sins have been forgiven you. The Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers. The Bible talks about all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Sin qualifies you for hell. Christ is the only one that has purchased redemption for mankind. But it only worketh effectual in them that believe. You must repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. He died that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Bible said he came into his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, you may have never burned up your child before. You may have never had an abortion or anything like that. But you're still a dirty, rotten sinner that has sinned against God, that you've broken God's righteous law. You've sinned against him. But Jesus Christ came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came to set the captives free. I can tell you something. I know this from the Word of God and from my own experience, that when Jesus, when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He changes your life. If any man be in Christ, it's my life verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he truly does make all things new. He said, behold, I make all things new. And he truly does. And he'll do that for your soul. He'll save your soul. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he was buried and that he rose again from the dead and you put your faith and trust in him, he will in no wise cast you out. That's the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he'll make you a new creature. And you won't desire the things of this world any longer when it comes to that sin and corruption and wickedness. But you'll have a desire to follow the Lord and to know Christ and to learn his book and to be his disciple and to follow him. If it's real, nothing in this life will shake you from Jesus Christ. Nothing. Through whether it be shekels or shackles, whether it be war, whether it be persecution, whatever it may be, nothing will take you away from the Lord. He will give you rest. That's good news, isn't it? Amen? That's real good news. It's the best news I could give you.
The storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. And in the midst of tribulations, stand by me. Who never lost a battle, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble,
Let's see here. If anybody has any questions or comments or anything like that before we take off here. Pray for our ministry. Continue to pray for us as we serve the Lord and be faithful to God. Try to check out all of our sermons. If you ever want to give to the ministry, you can do that through our sermon audio page. And you can just click give right there. And PayPal to salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or you can mail us something. And our mailing address is down here, right here. You can mail that to us if you'd like, if the Lord so lays it on your heart. That's how you can reach us anyway. If you want to email us too, you can email me at either pastorcooley@icloud.com or salvationpreacher@gmail.com, whichever one. You know, if somebody said that they asked for prayer because they haven't been reading their Bible in months, yes, we will pray for you, but you need to be in your Bible like now. That's a long time not to be in your Bible for a child of God to ignore the scriptures. That's a really long time. So I would change that. You know, I'll definitely pray for you, but the way I deal with people like that is just like, definitely pray for you, but you got to get going. Jesse Scruggs, how are you, my friend? I haven't heard from you forever. I thought you didn't like me anymore, and you cut me off, and you have a big picture of me in your garage that you use for a dartboard. I'm just kidding. Sort of. How's it going? Hope you're doing well. Haven't talked to you in a while, man. Hope Hattie's doing well and all that good stuff. But good to hear from you, Jesse. We'll have to touch base sometime. You'll have to give me a call. I haven't heard from you forever, man. Man, I don't know. How long has it been since I've seen you? Maybe 4 years? Man, time goes fast. I think it was 2018 I saw you. But anyway, I got to go get this thing at the post office from the Flat Earth Research Center here, Carl Winters and Peter. I don't know what in the world these guys are doing, but I'll find out here. Been a long time, Jesse. It's hard to believe. Man, time flies. I'm getting old. Anyway. Well, God bless you all. Take care. We'll be back here on Prophet 615. Good to hear from you. Glad it's a blessing to you for sure. Yep, Stephen L., good to see you, man. Haven't seen you on here for a while. Of course, haven't been on here for a while that much, I guess. But hope you're doing okay. Yep, so Cindy and Troy just had an anniversary. How many years was that, Cindy? Congratulations. How many years was that again? They just had an anniversary here yesterday, I think, is what it was. Well, Jesse, I'm glad you listened still, man. I wasn't sure if you still listened or not. I hadn't heard from you for a long time. I'm glad you're still listening. Well, that is awesome news. 34 years for Cindy Nelson. Praise the Lord for that. So we're glad to hear that. Congratulations, Cindy, for on 34 years of wedded bliss there. Jesse says he's been lurking but not listening. Okay, well, good. I'm glad you're still around, man. I was wondering. I was like, man. Is that guy still around or what? So I'm glad to hear you're still doing good and all that good stuff. Praise the Lord for that. I know, Cindy, that's a blessing to hear. You pray for us as we continue to wait for a month to go by here or sometime in between that time. It's getting closer to a month or so. Baby coming. So you pray for us about that. Number 7's on the way. So if you would pray for us, that would be a blessing for sure. We'd appreciate that. Yeah, but I've known Jesse for a long time. Me and Jesse go way back. Many years now. Man, it's been a while. Anyway, you all behave yourselves out there, and I'll try to get the other sermons on as well. And some extra ones on. I did put the sermon from Sunday on there, and we'll get the martyrs. I taught. Man, that's some good English right there. I taught on Constantine, on the transition, that paradigm shift of the third, between the third and fourth century with Constantine. So that'll be exciting. It's good. It was really good. So I think you guys will be blessed by that if you listen to that. So we'll get that on and get that going. Well, God bless you all. Take care. I will, Lord willing, be back on Friday. And have a